Coming up next is the conversation with John and I, and a special guest in the studio who knows quite a bit about the subject we'll be speaking of, which plays a little bit off of Counterspin. We'll sort of be continuing the conversation in a very Oregon-centric type of way. But I'd like to tell you that the conversation, support for it, comes in part from the Blue Scorcher Bakery and Cafe, baking up community one loaf at a time at 15th and Duane in Astoria. Open daily, 7 to 3 with breakfast and lunch, light dinner, pastries, and coffee, 3 to 6. Info at bluescorcher.coop. And like I said before, I'm joined by John Stevenson and I. This is The Conversation, and it is a call-in show. If you'd like to participate, 503-325-0010. What are we talking about, John?
We're talking about climate change from a couple of different perspectives, but first I want to introduce our guest, Eric Halperin, who made the trip up from Gerhardt today. And Eric is has a particular facility with the climate change issue and has been involved in heightening awareness and bringing data and information to people about it and the need for action. There's currently a bill in Salem being tussled over, number 1530, and because that is in a limbo state right now, if you've heard the news, you know that the GOP has essentially abandoned Salem and things are not able to move forward on 1530, which was a climate bill similar to the one that we had, the same sort of, well, the Republicans fled on that one as well. So it doesn't look promising that number 1530 is going to make it into becoming a law or practice. So maybe we move 1530 to the shelf for this show, and we talk about climate change from the perspective of how to be persuasive to a climate denier. Or there's also a crowd of people that agree that climate change is happening and it's bad, but seem to be recalcitrant in regard to doing anything about it, that if there's cost or any level of privation, all the conversation stops. So we hope to hear from you all about any luck or stories that you might have where you were able to make a dent in the armor of a climate change denier or someone that isn't interested in stopping it or arresting it if there are costs or problems related to that. We're at 503-325-0010. I was handed a note before we came in here. It's a quote from Frank Zappa, which says, "Without deviation from the norm, progress is not possible." I'm going to turn it over to Eric now, who can talk about what's been happening in our area and whatever successes he's had in terms of being persuasive.
Thank you, John. Good morning. Thank you, Dylan, and good morning to the listeners.
Of course.
Well, I've been interested in this topic for the last couple, 3 years. I've taken interest in the climate change issue. I see this as an emergency, and I think that the consequences of climate change to our area, Clatsop County, and to our state and to the world are quite dire from the things that I read over the next dozen years or so. If we as humanity don't get our act together, we're going to suffer a lot more problems than the people, I think, who are suggesting we shouldn't be doing anything about this.
It seems to be, from my perspective at least, to be generational as well, that my generation, the boomers, although we may say climate change is happening and it's a bad thing, can't seem to get off our duffs and support anything that would help the next generation. For boomers, the future is the present. And for those younger than boomers, their future is the most imperiled by climate change. And Dylan might represent the millennial or whatever the generation of yours is called. And I think he is honestly and appropriately distressed at the future if climate change, if there's not progress on arresting it. Yeah?
Yeah, of course, that's absolutely true. Because you have to think about the inherent value that a bill like 1530 would have on my generation as compared to even someone 10 years older than I am.
Yeah, I kind of see it
as... it's 10 more years that I might have to suffer with the loss of the fishing industry, the loss of honeybees. I mean, how much stuff can you think of that is at stake because of the climate?
Well, I don't think it would be a gross exaggeration to say that everything will change. The economy will change, the landscape will change, and the economy will be, for those of you in Timber Unity, as an aside, we'd love to hear from you and get your point of view if you feel like calling in. And to other listeners, don't hesitate to interrupt us if you want to call in. We're happy to stop what we're saying and listen to you. But the consequences for the future are, what I was saying is I think everything will be affected, which means that in the present, everything needs to change, and we can do it appropriately without without being too jarring to a way of life that's existed for 150 years in Oregon. But the longer we wait, the more abrupt and dramatic the changes are going to have to be. This is the time to make a change, and if you want it to be smooth, today is the day to get started.
In the generational element, I think, is certainly important. Obviously, young people today have the urgency for the world to take action, and we see that with Greta Thunberg, of course, and the whole Fridays for Future movement, which has been the global climate strikes, and they've been pushing this issue because they have the longest to live on this planet with the changes that are going to occur. But for generations of people who are 50 or 60 or 70 years old, they have grandchildren. And I'm sure they are looking out for their grandchildren. And to anybody who opposes climate change action, whatever legislation or action we want to take, they must have kids and grandkids that they care about. And can they really look those grandchildren in the eye and say, I'm doing everything I can to protect your future?
Absolutely. Don't tell me you love your grandchildren, because you're leaving them climate change to deal with. You're leaving them impossible debt to contend with. I think what you just said, Eric, is one of the most persuasive arguments to my generation there is you've got these kids, and so many people I know with their kids and grandkids, their life revolves around those kids. But it's shallow.
Reminds me of a song done by Sting called, I think the name of the song was Russians, during the Cold War, during the 80s. And he says, I think the Russians love their children too. Or don't you wish don't you hope the Russians love their children
right.
too? The whole question of, nuclear holocaust and the Cold War with Russia. And I've got to think that people who are opposing climate change, they must love their grandchildren too. And why can't they get on board? But we have to stop making it an us and them kind of argument. The unity part of Timber Unity, I'm all behind. We need some unity here.
That's true.
We need some human unity. We need some climate unity. We can't just have this group of unity and school teacher unity and office worker unity.
Which is somewhat ironic to the name of the group
right.
itself, because you're going to have this unity
right.
coming up against this unity
right.
and then they're going to butt
right.
heads
right.
like this.
But we're human unity, and we as humans have to be unified no matter our age, no matter our job. The people working in the woods are hardworking people. But they don't have a monopoly on hard work.
Well,
everybody is working hard.
I think one of the biggest challenges when it comes to climate change and people just talking about it, not even arguing, but people even coming down to just share their opinions and not try to change minds, is that there's a perceived threat on both sides, where climate change people are maybe trying to take away the jobs, take away...
Right.
The strength of the industry, whether it be forestry or whether it be fishing, something like that, the crafts. And of course, on the other side, and especially of my generation, as John was saying, there's a perceived threat that the world is going to drastically change and that our lifestyle in the first world will drastically change. And, you know, well, the implications of that. So I feel like it's hard to let sort of the enemy go because we're in this fight mentality.
Right.
Well,
right.
That's where what we'd like to hear from you all, the listeners, is any experience you may have had where you cracked it, where you broke the ice or cracked the code with a climate denier or someone that just doesn't want anything to be done because of the cost consequences. And if you've had any luck, you know, in a conversation, how you went about it and how persuasive your point of view was, if there was a magic slogan or something that seemed to resonate with the person that you were trying to be persuasive with. We'd love to know that formula. And if you are a person that didn't believe in climate change going in the past and you since have changed your mind and now you are on board that something needs to be done, love to hear from you as to what it was that changed your perspective. Because there are two sides to every argument, but and this is where science is so important, there's really only one side to the truth. There's something that might be helpful is on the NASA site, there is a list that they put out yesterday of the 10 common misconceptions about climate. And it can be really interesting from an information standpoint, no matter your point of view. It's good stuff to know. And NASA, as far as I know, has not been inculcated with Trump loyalists. So you have real science still coming out of NASA, I think.
Yeah, I think we can trust that, too. You can even take the approach, actually, it's a local educator here in Clatsop County by the name of, I'll give a shout out to Stephen Shoemaker. Stephen is a local educator and alternative energy advocate and alternative energy expert. And he made the comment to me once, we don't necessarily have to change the minds of people denying climate change. We just have to get the people who know that the climate is changing to act. And that's what it takes, is action. People have to get involved.
Yeah, and
well, I don't know. That seems difficult. Going back to, if we were to circle back around to this legislative problem where we have legislatures walking out of their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're taking the action, but it seems to be thwarted and halted.
Right. That is the gridlock that we're in right now.
So I'm not entirely sure if that quote is accurate, because it seems like the action is at least being spurred on. I don't know if it's even possible to move past that in a totally legal way, because legally the process is at a complete halt right now.
Well, one action that people can take is that they demand that the legislators return and do their job. I mean, currently they're getting paid to be on vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Eric, you bring up an interesting...
I'd like to bring up both sides of the aisle, too. And if Democrats were to do the same thing, I'd have the exact same expectation of them.
Right.
Because that is, you know, we elect these people to... because we have some sort of trust in them to make the decisions. And so it's Republicans now, but if it was ever to be Democrats in the future or the past, I'd say the same thing.
I agree with you. I'm in agreement with that.
Eric, you brought up an interesting, I don't know if it'd be considered a demographic or just a group, but people who believe climate change is happening and all of the consequences, but can't act or won't act. And I think about an example would be our senator, our state senator here, Betsy Johnson, who I believe is aware of climate change, but just cannot. It appears to be incomprehensible to her that action needs to be taken. And if there's a cost implication or something that could negatively affect the present, then she puts her foot down and effectively blocks it. And I don't understand that crowd, because I think they know better. But when I say incomprehensible, maybe it's a boomer thing, is that, you know, the past will define the future, and the past will be the future as far as those people are concerned. I think we've got a caller.
We do. Hi, this is Coast Community Radio. Hopefully, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this topic. Thank you for your station. Thank you for your show.
Thank you for participating.
Sometimes I see the conservative point of view. Sometimes I see the liberal point of view. And what I understand of this matter is that this is a short session to begin with many very important matters to be taken care of. And if I heard Ms. Johnston correctly, one of our local people with the Capitol, the legislature, she was saying that this bill that's been put in front of them, or this thing to vote on, is expanded from what they were looking at before, and they were asking for more time to review it, to know what was really in it, to really thoroughly go over it. It seems to me that that sounds practical to begin with, because they've already got a very crowded short session, and then this thing is brought back in, priority, but it's enlarged. It's different. So I think a good compromise would be to say, how about more time to review this? And then the other point that comes up, you know, the Democrats allowing more time for it to be reviewed. Then the other thing is that right now we're facing this big crisis, and it is turning into a gigantic economic crisis for the world pertaining to coronavirus and communist China repressive torture state, where all of our jobs went and all of our products are shipped back over here on the container ships. And that really good program that Ms. Your ship lady in the morning does,
Joanne,
pointed out that container ships account for a tremendous level of emission into the global atmosphere. So the globalist container economy, which is upon the world now, we can't even get our medicine. In fact, communist China has 90% of all the substances that go into pharmaceuticals, as well as 95% of the production, was bundled up and sent off to China. Now, the big thing is that while we want to enact measures on Americans, be they right, be they wrong, a big torture state, communist China, is allowed further coal plants, was allowed to grab the entirety of our American solar industry, taken from us also, through indifferent lawmakers and also tricky policies, because the communist Chinese have a real record of stealing and theft and bad play. And now we're over here, and Americans are called upon to do more. Meanwhile, big China is allowed to expand and further industrialize to the peril of the planet, and nobody is talking about this. And what comes from China as far as pollution rolls across the ocean and comes down on our heads right here, specifically in Oregon. So I think what the problem is partly is the incongruity of the idea that this globalist nightmare can expand further with big China at the helm. And meanwhile, Americans are supposed to make adjustments over here, further adjustments. And goodness knows what level of adjustment we're going to have to make now. And is it possible, too, that this virus has come into this country through container or not, or just through airplanes delivering products from China? We're really in a fix, and I think it would be a good time for the Democrats and the Republicans to say, let's put this on the back burner and let's get in there and do what we need to do right now for our people and compromise on both sides and get the rest of that stuff taken care of and give the Republicans some more time to take a look at this. I don't think their request was that bad.
Yeah, well, you bring up a whole bundle of things that need to be addressed.
Well, these are important matters, because we are living under the haze of a torture state pollution that we gave our entirety, even our pharmaceutical industry, to.
Right.
We're extremely vulnerable, very dependent.
Yeah,
it's
if
a
I could
mess,
bring up something.
And the globalists, under the Democrats, and Bush and Clinton, the Big Papa, brought us this mess. And we need to concentrate on what kind of coalescence we can make right now amongst all of us right now to get done what we need to get done for Oregonians. So I think a compromise of allowing them some more time. And on top of it, it's not climate change, it's climate chaos. We're not even going to have, we do not even have the luxury of saying, okay, now we're living in like a Southern California climate up here in Oregon. No, we don't have that much consistency to our climate. We're going to have tremendous floods as occur in the great grain producing states out of nowhere. And then they're going to have a drought the next year. It's just we have to do what we can do. And if you allow them to keep pumping out the coal emissions and the cargo traffic to continue going around the world, contributing, we're not going to get anywhere. And this is partly where your pragmatic grassroots Oregonian who does understand that there's climate change, climate chaos, because we're Oregonians. We've lived here our whole life. We see the difference. We're not dumb. Kind of kicks it up. It's like, oh, yeah, and then let's keep doing things for China so that they can keep on torturing and they can keep on sending us our products.
Well, there is, you bring up a lot of points that need to be addressed, and there are global initiatives. The Paris Accords included China, and whether or not it has any enforcement mechanism that's effective is another matter. But for all the things you bring up, it has to begin with some steps. And from what I understand, and I could be wrong on this, but I think environmentally, China is not a climate change denying country like America. And they may have more work to do because their entire economic structure is based on pollution. But I don't think they're as adverse as certain Americans are to making changes. So there is some optimism there, but global organizations...
high in the sky. I think their record shows the opposite, and they're headlong, or they would not have been poisoning their own people at the level of industrial pollution and contamination that the Chinese people have suffered under in the cities like Shanghai and elsewhere. Look at the level of pollution that they have been pumping out on their own people and the poisons and the toxins that they're exposed to in the production, which made them so attractive to our global corporatists. So do not always put Americans in the lesser light. And that's another part of the problem, because Americans are aware of this. But all we have to do with our state right now is say to both sides, compromise, compromise, get back in there. The Republicans are saying you enlarged this bill, which they probably did, because I believe Ms. Betsy, I think her last name is Johnston. I'm new to the area. I'm recovering from severe illness brought into my life through crime and related to drugs. Anyway, so if she says that they put something even larger in front of them and then they have this short session and there's so much that needs to be looked at, I'd say at least compromise to allow it to come up in the next session.
Well, we have a few more calls coming in.
And I'll just address that the fact...
Okay, well, I don't think it's too much to ask. I think we need a little from both sides. Thank you very much.
Hey,
bye.
Thank you.
I think I'd like to answer just a little bit of that, which is the reason that this bill is different than it was last year is just for the compromises that the Democrats put in at the behest of the Republicans and the opposition. There are quite a few changes to this bill this year as compared to House Bill 2020 of last year, which was just the compromise that people were looking for, but it still wasn't seemingly enough.
Yeah.
And if I could just say one other thing, John, this idea that this is a short session and this bill shouldn't be addressed at this point. This work is continuation of work that's been going on for nearly a decade. Bills have been introduced in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, and they've continued to further refine it and make further adjustments to it, and this is work to finish now. The one point that I really agreed with that the caller just made was we're in climate chaos. So the point that she made, we should put this on the back burner, I think is the opposite strategy for when you have chaos. This has to stay on the front burner, and we have to deal with this, or this will make coronavirus look like a walk in the park.
Right. And I wanted to refer this back to our state senator, which is Betsy Johnson, who has a duty, an obligation to represent her constituents. But as a senator, and this is a little bit different than an assembly person, I believe, she also has a duty to be a leader. And that can be at odds with what your constituents want in the short term. And I would ask Senator Johnson to become a better leader in this regard.
This is Coast Community Radio. This is Participatory Radio, 503-325-0010. We've got another caller. Hi, this is KMUN. Apparently, you're not on the air. One point I'd like to make about the first caller is that I see two different facets of that argument. She was saying that America should focus on itself, but that we also have this big problem across the ocean of China, and that possibly we should do something about it. And those are in direct conflict with each other.
Yeah, that's a philosophical question that Americans need to ask is, even if China does nothing, does that mean we do nothing in return? It used to be an argument in the 60s in regard to nuclear war, which was if the Russians had nukes headed right towards us and there was nothing we could do about it, should we blow them up too, just because we could? And people would struggle with the answer to that.
This is KMUN. I think you're on the air this time.
Hi, yes, I am. There were a couple of comments. One thing about China, I think China is the same place as the U.S. They understand climate change very well. This Beijing air is so horrible sometimes. And the moving desert, there are a bunch of ways that China knows how terrible the climate is getting. And they're doing some good things, and they're still locked into the old, they are their own type of capitalistic model as we are.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever had success in changing the mind of a climate change denier?
So I have an old friend who loves to be controversial. And he going about, oh, there's no climate change. And I just said, oh, come on. Everybody agrees there's climate change now. And he shut right up.
You must be very persuasive.
I think an awful lot of people know that it's just this argument they like to make that's just, you know, not agreed on anymore. The other thing, when I was on the climate rally in Salem, a woman came around saying, oh, it's just all about cycles or something like that. You know, we're just another warming cycle.
That's what a lot of people will bring up is the warming periods. Because that is true that Earth does go through these warming periods.
Right. Well, here's an important little counter to that if someone brings it up to you is that...
No, I had one.
What is it?
That, yes, we're absolutely in a warming cycle. We're going into the Permian extinction kind of cycle. Those levels of CO2 are getting to be those same levels.
Right. In the past, when there was significant climate change, the last time it happened, for it to change to what is forecasted for us, it took 10,000 years. We're talking about change that is started essentially at the Industrial Revolution. Change that took 10,000 years before is only taking 150 this time. It is not a natural course, unless you consider everything humans do to be natural.
We've got really limited time here. I'd like to thank you for your call, and we've got a few other people lined up, and I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get to all of them. We just got a couple minutes to go, but thanks for participating.
Well, you're welcome.
Participating in your radio. Thank you. Well, John, we've just got a few moments before the next call comes through. One thing I'd like to say quickly, as far as the Chinese, like an average Chinese citizen denying climate change, if you're living in those really heavily polluted areas where you can't see in front of you because it's so thick, I'd say that would be pretty hard to deny that there's a serious climate change happening.
Yeah.
Hi, this is KMUN. You're on the radio.
Is that me?
Yes.
I think it's really unfortunate you let that woman hog the program with her political point of view. She was obviously a phony. And a couple of particular things, since I only have a minute here. As far as the Chinese go, think about this. There's something like four or five times as many citizens living in that country. So on a per capita basis, their effect on the climate has been and is now way, way, way much less than the average U.S. citizen. So that's important to keep in mind. The other thing is, does that woman shop at Walmart or some other trashy, junky store that sells a bunch of stuff imported here from China? The Americans have a responsibility for what China is producing. They're just selling us stuff. We need to quit buying it. If we don't like this China being such a big industrial power, then stop buying their stuff.
You know,
you're the ones responsible for it and for the pollution caused by it, and also for the suppression of the people there that would probably be much more agrarian if we hadn't turned them into our production house. And most of the companies that work there and wanted to do business with them know that they're slacker on the environment, so they could get more done there. Here, we're trying to be a little more conscientious, and so companies leave here because they don't want to try to save the environment. They just want money. So, you know, I'll leave it to somebody else to call in, but I'm really angry with this program. You did a real disservice, I think, because you didn't present a balanced point of view.
Well, and, you know, we're also not responsible for the people that call in, and I'd like to see both sides call in, but I'm afraid because of the nature of our entire station, we don't have as many listeners on the other side of the aisle. So we're taking in your feedback, and I appreciate that you said that. And I wish it could be a more balanced program. And especially I wish we had more time to really, really get in the weeds of stuff here. But thank you for the call. Thank you for the honesty. This is KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM. Hopefully we'll be back on the air next time, and we'll get some calls from the other side.
Thanks very much to Eric Halperin for being our guest today.